Morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you all. And some people we haven't seen for a long time, and some people we've never seen, and some people we see too much of. But anyway, it's great to have you all here. And today, you've come at just the right time. We're starting a new series on weather. Now, we British, we love the weather, don't we? We talk about the weather a lot. That's because we have so much weather in this country, don't we? We have it every single day. And I'm really pleased that the way it is, because we've had some very warm weather and a lot of cloudless skies today. The skies are covered in cloud, and that is the subject for today. So, just very quickly, I mean, anybody here use the old seaweed method to sort of get the weather? Anybody hang a bit of seaweed out their back door or something? I did see this. This is quite good. I did see. Did anybody use a stone for weather forecasting? Because this is brilliant. I just saw this recently. Okay, so hanging outside a centre was a stone on a chain, right? So it's hanging down on a chain. And so this is the weather forecasting stone. So here it is. So condition, the stone is wet. That means it's rain. There's rain. Okay, the stone is dry. That means it's not raining. Okay, there's a shadow on the ground from the stone, that means it's sunny. It's going with me so far. If it's white on the top of it, it means it's snowing. If you can't see the stone, it means the weather's very foggy. If there's a swinging stone on the chain, it's windy. If the stone's jumping up and down, that means there's an earthquake. And if the stone has gone, it means we've had a tornado. I thought, that's a useful thing. So get yourself a weather forecasting stone. You've got to have the right type. But weather is one of those things that fascinates us in this country, doesn't it? We love the weather, don't we? Yeah, oh, it's too hot. Oh, it's too hot for me this week. Oh, I wish it would get all cold again. Oh, I can't stand it. What we really need is a good thunderstorm. No, of course we don't need a good thunderstorm. Look at all the floods we had and all that. You know, we're never satisfied in this country. We love the weather. That is the thing the British are famous for. Moaning. But apart from that, you know, we're very good with the weather. We love it. Today's subject, so the next few weeks we're going to do different sort of aspects of the weather and see what God has to say about it. And we're looking at clouds this morning. That's why I played that Joni Mitchell song, which most of you ignored and talked over. I'm not at all hurt. And I'll get even one day. Okay, so the clouds. I've looked at clouds from both sides now. I really don't know clouds at all. And I thought we'd cut it there because it goes on to other things. But we've got some clouds here, haven't we? We've got some pictures of clouds. Look at the old question mark cloud. It's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. Look at that. Have you ever seen a cloud like that? Have you ever tried, you know, lying down, maybe on a sunny day, there's blue sky and the clouds go over, just moving gently across, and you say, oh, that cloud, it looks like a dog or something. Or that one looks like Arthur Mullard or something like this. You know, have you ever done that? Yeah. I've never seen one like that before. But clouds, and there's all types of clouds. How many people know the names of different types of clouds? Who's an expert on the weather here? Barry seemed to reel a few off earlier on. Anybody know them? Davina, do you know a load of clouds? Go on then, give me some. Give us some. Come on. You've got a geography degree in clouds?
No, not clouds.
All right. Did you do a thesis on clouds?
No, I did not.
Right. Tell us what you know about clouds. Sorry, you don't have to. It's all right. I'm only winding you up. Sorry.
I can maybe name a couple.
Go on then, go for it.
Okay, the cumulus.
Yeah. Anybody heard of that?
Yeah.
It's all right. You don't score anything for that. Yeah. Okay. Other people have heard it. Anybody ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Right, sorry, don't get anything for that.
Stratus.
Anybody ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, don't get any points for that.
Well, I'll leave it to you.
Barry knows. Go on.
Let's
take a hand up,
whatever she says.
No. There's loads of clouds. I'm not going to go into them. And I'll tell you why, because I don't know anything about them. So we're going to deal with clouds as in the Bible. And of course there's wispy clouds and fluffy clouds, and there's black clouds for all kinds of weather. You can always tell when there's snow in those clouds, can't you? You can see, you can kind of see it. It's kind of the heaviness of that and the feel of it. It's not too cold, but it's very, they're very heavy. And of course, we always get plenty of cloud in this country, don't we? So, I mean, you go to some Mediterranean countries, and day after day, you know, the sun comes up, there's not a cloud in the sky, and it's the same every day. It's scorching hot. No clouds. And we need the clouds, don't we? We need, you know, when you're in the sun, a bit of cloud goes over, it takes away a little bit of the heat, then it comes back again. It just gives you that break, and it's very interesting to look at the sky and see the clouds. It's fantastic. Got some pictures of clouds here. Mark's going to shove them up there. What have we got next? Look at that. Everybody seen that canary wharf sticking out of the top of a cloud? So I'm above the clouds there. So the cloud is all below, but it's not as high as the buildings. And what else we got, Mark, there? Just lovely sort of summer's day, fluffy cloud in the blue sky. Gorgeous. What's next, Mark? Come on. Yes, the sun coming up with the clouds. Keep going. Above the clouds. What else? Oh, yeah, cloud computing. We always, you can store all your photos and all your files in the cloud. Everybody, in case you're worried, it's not literally up in one of those clouds up there. And if it rains, all your files are going to come down. It's not that. Honestly, it is just another computer somewhere, but you just load it up and it stays there and you can get it when you want, unless, of course, the whole thing collapses and you've lost everything, which could happen, I suppose, because there are hackers. So you look, your kitchen sink can go into the cloud computing according to that. Everything in the kitchen sink. So you can upload everything into the cloud. So you don't have to have loads of storage at your home or in your computer. You don't need much. You can just send it all away into the cloud and it's there whenever you want it. What else we got, Mark? Anything else? Oh, yeah, snow clouds. Look at that. Snow clouds. Or is that the last one? There's one more. Ah, that's a pillar of cloud. So when we come to the Bible and we sort of look up cloud, if you actually look into the Bible, there are loads and loads of mentions of clouds. And God has got something very special to say to us through the subject of clouds. Has anybody ever heard of anybody know of any sort of sayings, popular sayings, idioms, that have the word cloud in them? Another quiz, come on. Ah, very good, thank you very much. Every dark cloud has a silver lining, so... Yeah, very good. So, may not be all bad. Any more? Head in the clouds means you're... There's also... Anybody ever heard of cloud cuckoo land? It's very similar. If you're in cloud cuckoo land. Does anybody here live in cloud cuckoo land? Okay. Then there's also sort of cloud on the... A dark cloud on the horizon. You can have your judgment clouded. And most of the idioms and sayings about clouds are negative. They're not so good. If some of the clouds, there's a cloud on the horizon. What else have I got here? Got a few more. Clouding our judgment, every dark, yeah. A cloud of suspicion in the cloud. But there's one, if you're on cloud 9, that means you're very happy. But what about if you leave somewhere under a cloud? Not so good. Negative. And they get in the way of the sun. But of course, we know that if you go up above the clouds, if you can get into a plane and fly above the clouds, it's always sunny up there. Always sunny. Even if it's dark, quite gloomy, down on here on Earth, you can get above those clouds. The sun is shining all the time. So, I've picked a few of the things in the Bible. I think God has got some things to say to us about clouds. So, the first one, Mark, the first reference I've got there, please, which is in Exodus. Remember that the Israelites were in slavery in Egypt. And, to cut a long story short, eventually, reluctantly, Pharaoh let the Israelites go. And off they go. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter, for God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He'd said, God will surely come to your aid. Then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. I'm glad we don't have to do that kind of thing anymore. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud. And by night, a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. So God, in his wisdom, when he was leading these people to the promised land, although that wasn't to happen a bit later, an awful lot later actually, God wanted to reassure his people that he was there with them. And by day, there was that pillar of cloud which led the people. Now that wasn't God, but God was there in it. That was God's doing. And the people had this guidance from the Lord taking them all the way. And so they knew that God was with them. By fire at night, it was leading them. And so God was reassuring his people that where he was taking them, he was there with them. So it was a fantastic demonstration of God's love to them. And if we look at the second reference I've got there, Mark, which is, this is not long afterwards, of course, Pharaoh reconsiders his position and he finds that he's lost all his cheap labour. So he sends his own army out after the Israelites, and they come up after them. And it says, then the angel of God, who had been travelling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them. So instead, on this occasion, nearly all the time, the pillar of cloud was leading the Israelites along the way. From the front, they were following the cloud. At this instance, because they were under attack, or they were about to come under attack by the Egyptians, God decides he's going to move the pillar of cloud behind them, between them and the attacking army, or the would-be attacking army. So it says, coming in between the armies of Egypt and Israel, throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night long. So God gave confusion. He gave darkness to one lot and bright lightness to the other. I wonder which was which. So God was there in this cloud. And, you know, something that sometimes we look at the clouds and we say, oh, it's a cloudy old day today. You know, for the Israelites, that cloud was what they wanted to see, because they knew that that what meant that the presence of God was leading them all the way. And God was with them. Don't we want to know God's leading in our lives? Don't we want to know that God is going ahead of us? He doesn't shove us on in front, but he will guard us when we are being attacked. And he will come between whatever's attacking us and ourselves. So they knew that this was fantastic. And the next reference we've got goes on a little further. But that's it. Yeah, this one, again, cloud comes into this as well. This is, they've gone a bit further. In the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on the very day they came to the desert of Sinai, and they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him from the mountain and said, this is what you're to say to the house of Jacob, and what you're to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words that the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud, so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you." Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of the people. Put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, 'Be careful that you do not go up the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. He shall surely be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on him, whether man or animal. He shall not be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they go up to the mountain.'" After Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them. They washed their clothes. He said to the people, "Prepare yourselves for the third day. Abstain from sexual relations. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning and a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up, and the Lord said to him, 'Go down and warn the people so they do not force their way through, and many of them perish. Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them.' Moses said to the Lord, 'The people cannot come up Mount Sinai, because you yourself warned us, 'Put limits around the mountain and set it apart as holy.' The Lord replied, 'Go down and bring Aaron up with you. But the priests and the people must not force their way through to come up to the Lord, or he will break out against them.' So Moses went down to the people and told them." Long reading, but that sets the sign how solemn and how serious that was. You see, God had brought the people out of Egypt. He had redeemed, he'd brought them out, he'd saved them, he'd taken them away from Pharaoh. All that slavery was gone, they were free, they were following God. And then they reached the mountain. And God knows that they've been moaning and they've been grumbling. And he says, "You just got to follow what my commands and you'll be fine." And I believe the people then, when they were in their response, it was just too glib and it was just too easy to say, "Yeah, we'll do whatever it is. Yeah, fine, we'll do it." I believe that was the case. And that, I believe that is where the law came from that point. We can do it, we can keep everything you want. So God said, "Okay, I'm going to give you the law and you've got to keep it." And they couldn't keep it. Just like we can't keep it. Look at the Ten Commandments. We can't keep them. We can't obey them. But thank God that he sent Jesus to us so that we have got a Redeemer who died for all those sins, for all those commandments we've broken. We're not under law anymore, we're under grace. But in that moment, God was really disappointed with his people there. And all that smoke and the clouds around the mountain. And Moses saying, "No, don't let them come up." Telling them not to come up. "Don't even come near the base of the mountain or you're going to suffer." God was in that smoke and in that cloud on the mountain. God was there. But God was not pleased with his people. They had to go through that. And then at a later time, God moves in a cloud again. And we can read loads and loads of references about the cloud leading them on. But in this, we read about a place called the Tent of Meeting later on. And this is in, again, is Exodus 33. Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the Tent of Meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the Tent of Meeting outside the camp whenever Moses stood So he went out to the tent. All the people rose and stood at the entrances of their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to his tent. Then the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. So once again, God is demonstrating, even though his people have displeased him, even though they say they can do anything that God wants them to, what God wanted was a partnership. What God wanted was his people have a relationship with him and say, I can't do it on my own, Lord, I need you. Not, yeah, I can do it. I can do it my own strength. I can keep your laws. Tell me what laws to keep, I'll keep them, no worries. We can't do it. You can't do it, and I certainly can't do it. But here we see Moses, God still there, in presence, in a cloud, in this tent of meeting, and Moses goes in there and they're just talking like friends. That's the relationship God wants with his people. He wants us to talk with him as we do a friend. That's what he wants. He wants that relationship, that close relationship with himself. And that cloud there represented it. But of course, all the people didn't have that. They couldn't all do that. They stood and worshipped, but they didn't have that special, close relationship with God. The cloud symbolized God's presence. But that wasn't God himself. It was just a demonstration to the people that that's God. And later on, when they got settled in the promised land, much later, we see that the temple gets built. And here's more. This is a fantastic, I love this reference. When all the work Solomon had built the temple, David had got everything ready for him, but because David had to fight and kill, had blood on his hands, God said, you're a man after my own heart, but you're not going to be building that temple. So when they were settled in the promised land and Solomon is given permission, David's son is given permission to build the temple, and they've finished it, they've done it all. A fantastic place, something that the world's never seen before, the like of which is just absolutely unique and amazing. It stands up there in Jerusalem and people can see it from miles around. It's a huge, imposing, impressive building, all for the glory of God. When all the work Solomon had done for the temple of the Lord was finished, he brought in the things his father David had dedicated, the silver and gold and the furnishings, and he placed them in the treasuries of God's temple. Then Solomon summoned to Jerusalem and the elders of Israel, all the heads of the tribes and the chiefs of the Israelite families, to bring up the Ark of the Lord's Covenant from Zion, the city of David. And all the men of Israel came together to the king at the time of the festival in the seventh month. When all the elders of the Israel had arrived, the Levites took up the Ark. That, again, another symbol of the presence of God. And they took it and they were going to take it into the temple. They brought it up the Ark and the tent of meeting and all the sacred furnishings in it. The priests who were Levites carried them up. And King Solomon and the entire assembly of Israel that had gathered about him were before the Ark, sacrificing so many sheep and cattle that they could not be recorded or counted. The priests then brought the Ark of the Lord's Covenant to its place in the inner sanctuary of the temple, the most holy place, and put it beneath the wings of the cherubim. The cherubim spread their wings over the place of the Ark and covered the Ark and its carrying poles. These poles were so long that their ends, extending from the Ark, could be seen from in front of the inner sanctuary, but not from outside the holy place. And they're still there today. Well, they're not, but they were when this was written. There was nothing in the Ark except the two tablets that Moses had placed in it at Horeb, where the Lord had made a covenant with the Israelites after they came out of Egypt. The priests then withdrew from the holy place. All the priests who were there had consecrated themselves, regardless of their divisions. all the Levites who were the musicians, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and their sons and relatives stood at the east side of the altar, dressed in fine linen, playing cymbals, harps, and lyres. They were accompanied by 120 priests sounding trumpets. The trumpeters and singers joined in unison with one voice to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, "He is good. His love endures forever." That's what we've been singing this morning. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud. Now we're coming to it. The temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud. And the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. They couldn't carry on. They couldn't do what they were there to do. Why couldn't they? Because God moved into that place in such power and with such holiness and with such greatness. The cloud filled the temple. They couldn't do it. They had to stop because they were just knocked out, bowled over, kicked for six, whatever it is, by God in his greatness. Have you ever had an experience like that? Have you ever been in God's presence and you felt him so close that actually you pretty well can't do anything? Have you ever felt that? Some people, see some heads nodding. God was in the cloud. That wasn't God himself. That was the cloud that just showed God's presence. But God was there. He was there in reality, and those people could not carry on because the cloud of God's glory filled that temple. And it was just, must have been absolutely amazing. And I pray that God will fill us and this place with his presence and his glory so that we are just speechless. You know, we sometimes sing that song, "I stand in awe of you." And sometimes we just sing it. And sometimes it doesn't mean much to us. I stand in awe of you. These people were in awe of God because they couldn't carry on. But I'd like us just to look at a couple more of these things about clouds, because things change a bit. I mean, there's the next one, Mark, is just a little bit of prophecy there that Daniel says, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence." Daniel sees Jesus. And this is, remember, many centuries before Jesus was actually born on earth. But of course, Jesus has always existed. So the next reference we've got is when the, what we call the Transfiguration. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James and John, the brother of James, led them up a high mountain. By themselves, there he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. There was a cloud among them. But here's the difference, I think, from the Old Testament. The cloud is there, and they know that God's there. But here, the cloud is there, and they are with Jesus in the cloud. Jesus is there, right next to them. He's right with them. And that's the relationship we've got, because we've got that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who died to take away our sins. And the cloud of God's presence, Jesus is here with us through that. And they thought this was, I mean, this was absolutely mind-blowing again for the disciples. But the cloud was there, and but God still spoke. But Jesus, as we know, is God. The next one we've got is then Jesus, when Jesus was on trial, he said the high priest stood before him and asked Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? I am, said Jesus. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. The high priest tore his clothes. Why do you need any more witnesses? He asked. You've heard the blasphemy. What do you think? Because Jesus said those words, I am, which is the what Yahweh said way, way back, what God had said, I am. I was, I am, I always will be. And he said those words, he was taking the place of God because he is God. That's the point. And again, that prophecy that we saw in Daniel, that you're going to see the Son of Man coming in clouds. That's what's going to happen in the future. Mark, give us one more. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, he's made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So it shall be. Amen. Jesus is coming back. And I've got one more reference there, I think, which is what's going to happen to those of us who are still around, or even if we are not still around, when Jesus comes. In Thessalonians it says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to God's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Have you ever been up in an aircraft and you see those lovely fluffy clouds and you ever thought, I'd just love to jump down and bounce around on those for a bit? Well, we're going to go the other way. We're going to go up. When the Lord comes back, which he surely will, and by the way, we're pretty close to it, because most of the prophecies in the Bible which talk about Jesus coming back have already been fulfilled. He's not back yet at this moment, but he's coming. And the Bible says that the people who are dead will rise first. Then us, if we're still alive at the time, we'll go and meet him. We'll meet him in the clouds. So we'll fly up there with him in the clouds. How we do it, I don't know, but we'll do it. So we look upon clouds sometimes as things which are negative. They get in the way. They block out the sun. They're dark clouds, cloud on the horizon, clouded judgment, leaving under a cloud, all those things. But in the Bible, clouds are the symbol of God's presence. And in the New Testament, when Jesus has come, Jesus is with us in the cloud. And he is with us. When it is a cloudy day and we feel down and we feel oppressed and we feel that things are not going our way, Jesus is there with us in that situation. Just as God led the people through the wilderness with a pillar of cloud, this is even better because there's a cloud there with God and there's us with Jesus walking there together. The cloud is such a great reminder of God's presence with us. So what I'm going to suggest is that in this coming week, if it's cloudy, don't look at it as a negative thing. Look at it and say, God's with us. God is leading me. That cloud's not leading me. God is leading me. And God is there, right next to me in the form of Jesus. And God's Holy Spirit, who fills our lives. And God just loves you to bits. He just absolutely loves you. He loves you so much, he's prepared to send Jesus to the cross to take your sins away. Let's just pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, I thank you for what we have learned about clouds in the Bible. The cloud representing your presence among your people. And that, Lord, that you love them so much that you guided them through the wilderness. That you loved them so much that you were prepared to meet with them and protect them from the advancing army. And Lord, I just thank you that we have Jesus with us in our lives. We have your Holy Spirit filling our lives. And that we know we've got that assurance that you're with us. And Father, I pray that you would give us that vision of you. Something similar to what was seen in the temple, where you were so real that the priests and the Levites could not go on. The singing stopped. The playing the instruments stopped. But your worship continued. Lord, I pray that you would let us know your presence among us in this coming week. That you would guide us as surely as that pillar of cloud guided the Israelites. That you would be next to us and you would have that conversation with us as surely as Moses was able to in the tent of meeting, talking like friends. And Lord, that you will give us that assurance that Jesus is coming back for us. Lord, you have not forgotten us. Lord, bless your people, I pray, and build us up to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.